going some things over the last month, two, 3 weeks, maybe a month. And I got to tell you, it's been a long time since I've been excited about what God has shown me and what He's done in my life. And I would even go as far to say that He's changed me. You know, I've been sharing with a few people that sometimes that scares us when somebody says that. Let's be real. Every time you or I find something new about the Lord, shouldn't it change us? Shouldn't we be excited about that change and say, this is something I never saw before? Aren't you glad that you don't know everything you're going to know about the Lord until He comes? I'm going to need you to do something today. For some of you, it's going to be hard. But I think for a lot, it's something that maybe you do often. But I need you to hear me this morning from your heart. I need you to give me 45 minutes. And then you can go on believing what you believe for the rest of your life, if you want. But I'm just asking for 45 minutes that you listen from your heart and you give it a chance. I want to read this morning from Ephesians 5 and 2. Ephesians 5 and 2. Just a phrase in this verse that I want. Actually, I'm going to read from verse 1. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us." I've got a comparison Bible here, and I've got the NIV says, "Be imitators of God." It says in verse 2, "And live a life of love, just as Christ loved us." I've got an illustration I need to use today. And I need to use it because I can't think of a better way to portray to you what I'm talking about. So it's for me to show you what I'm talking about. Maybe you would understand it, but I need it for me. Now you can tell that I made this, because if my son had made it, it would look a lot better. But I made this. It's got some things written on it that you won't be able to see, but you'll have to believe me. It's got something on the side here that says, "My view." My view. And I think you can figure out why. On here are some things that my views are made up of. Doctrine, or the teachings of the Word of God. You say, well, that's good. Yeah, I agree. My personal convictions. The things that I feel strongly about, that I feel that maybe they're gray areas to others, but I really feel that this is what God has shown me in this particular area. So my view's made up of that. Those two things help me to set up my belief system. It's the things I believe. It's the way I live my life. And all of those things give me a view. Now there's a difference when I put this on. And I think you'll know what that is. The difference is, it does something. Can you guess what this does when I put it on? It limits my view. You say, well, that's true. Everything that I see, I filter it through these things, and this is the view that I've come to determine is acceptable or not acceptable, and it's on these grounds that I live my life, and I either accept or don't accept people and things. I want to tell you a story. Last week, I was asked to speak to the children, and the story they wanted me to talk about was, no surprise, from the Bible. And it was about somebody's house. And this man's house was where the Lord went. And he was sitting there, the Bible story says, in Matthew and Luke, and maybe in the other Gospels. That's where I read about it. And it said that he was eating with people of less than stellar record. And you know, there were some people that came to the disciples that day, and they had convictions and they had teachings that they based their findings on, and they came to the disciples and they said, What is he doing? Does he not know that that is totally unacceptable? Everything I've come to learn and believe, that goes against it. The Lord didn't have quite as limited view as they had come to have. They were drawn to him. They found something appealing about him. They knew what he was like, and yet somehow he had managed, through standing for the truth, that these people still wanted to be around him. Let me tell you another story. There was one day that he wanted to have a meeting. And there were those who came who had low self-esteem. And they had low self-image. They didn't want to be around him because it made them uncomfortable. So they... Hold on. They went to the basement. Now I know what you're saying. Hold on a second. Are you telling me for an instance that maybe the problem that people have being around me is their problem? That maybe the fact that they don't want to be around me and they feel uncomfortable around me, and is that somehow, even though I don't physically wear these, they've got a sense that they're not acceptable? Is it possible that something in my view is causing me to not be like Christ? I'm asking the question, is it possible that maybe those that don't feel comfortable around me, that it's not their problem, but it's mine? Well, I want to bring it a little closer to home than that. You say, well, I'm not sure I want it much closer home than that, but I want to bring it home closer, and I want to ask the question, is it possible? Is there any chance that this view that I have based on all these good things? Remember, this is just my view. This isn't the doctrines and the things of the Word of God. This is my view, what I've come to see from those things. Is it possible that view eliminates some of you? That some of you are not acceptable to me? You say, well, no, I mean that unconditional love that Christ showed, that just draw people to him. Paul, I think we've got that. I think that's an environment that we have created here amongst our little group of believers. Really? Then let's do a little test. We got time for a test. I want you to think back to the last 24 hours. Now, some of you are pretty good, so maybe you're going to have to go a week. Maybe you're going to have to go a month. But I want you to think of something in your life that you're ashamed of. Some of you say, "Well, I don't really have to go back too far." But I'm not talking about a burden you're bearing, about an illness in a family or something. I'm talking about something that, man, you know you should do it and you don't, but and you shouldn't do it, but you do. And man, I wouldn't want I wouldn't want anybody to know about that. You got some? Go back longer if you... Okay, here's the test. Don, do you want to go first? Stand up and share it with us. Scotty? No? But hold on a second. You have unconditional love from God, from Christ, and you feel you can tell Him anything. Why don't you feel like you can tell me? Is it possibly that my view has caused you to think that if you were to share that with me, that struggle, that you'd be way, way outside of my peripheral view? Have I caused you to... Is it possible that that's what people see when they see me? Have I made my views so well known that people wouldn't dare approach me with something? You know, the last weeks I've got back in the vehicle and I've said, wow, at least 50 hands I've shook in this week. At least 50 I shook this morning. And honey, everybody's good. They're all good. Nobody said to me, actually, Paul, it's not so good and I need to meet with you. Honey, I went and people, I said, are you good? You're really good? I'm good. Or not, yeah, good. Why? Do I really think that there's no husband here who would love to be able to talk to somebody because he's at a place in his marriage where he says, I'm concerned. I do not love my wife. In fact, the things that other women show me, I find myself being drawn to those things. You don't think that's possible? You don't think there's possible that some woman here saying, I would love to talk to somebody. My husband treats me at the bottom of the totem pole. Everybody else gets everything he's got to offer. And I get whatever he's got left. And you know what? I feel my heart drawn to people who I shouldn't have it drawn to. And I don't know what to do. How about this? Is it possible that in our midst here, I mean, not out of the 50 people I talk to, but maybe somewhere, is there somebody who, young person who has gone through school and maybe they're suffering under the weight of expectations of parents and not suffering under the weight of the expectations of me? Because I'll only accept them if they perform right. And is it possible that their heart is being drawn to somebody and people in their lives are saying, no, you can't do that, forget that. Is it possible that a young person like that in our midst might say, I don't want to do it anymore? You say he's going to quit church, Paul? And was it possible maybe he wants to quit life? Oh, now that's just... Is it? Don't be so sure. Don't be so sure. There's nobody sitting right next to you that doesn't feel like that. Because you know what? You're wrong. You're wrong. There is somebody. How do you know that? Because I know. I know it. Did they talk to you or me? No. How did I find? I heard about it. Oh man. But everybody was good. Do you ever go home after you hear of a divorce in our midst and go, honey, how did they go from good last week to divorce this week? Here's a newsflash. They didn't. They haven't been good for months and maybe years. And nobody knew about it. Nobody knew. Maybe a husband comes up here when you all have your eyes closed, and he's like me, and he's looking, he says, I got to do something. I want my life to be, I want that love back for my wife. I want to know what that's like. So who am I going to talk to? Everybody's marriage here is perfect. It's perfect. I can't think of one of you that's gone through something and maybe has come out the other side. And God has given you a victory in your marriage and you're like, praise God, I've got something to share with somebody. You want to know a lie? I've exposed some lies that I bought into. I'm going to share a few of them with you. Here's one. There's no value in you telling people what God has brought you from. There's no value in that. Just keep that quiet. I mean, we don't need to be, is that one of your belief systems? There's really no value in sharing with people where you've come from. I mean, aren't you glad that the Bible isn't full of Josephs? Wouldn't it be a little depressing if the Bible stories were Josephs? You read that story and come and show me one area where God pointed out a failure in his life. We know that was a picture of Christ and he chose to show it in perfection. Now, we know Joseph wasn't perfect. But aren't you glad there was a David? Aren't you glad that God saw fit to put a Peter in there? And a Paul? Do you ever wonder that maybe, why would God put... I've read, I think it's Hebrews and James. Sometimes I wonder, how many of you here know who Rahab is? Everybody know who Rahab was? Old Testament character? Nod your head. Sorry. Nod your head. You know who Rahab is, right? Do you sometimes think, God, do you have to stick the harlot on the end? I mean, we know who you're talking about. I mean, you all know who I meant when I said Rahab. God, do you really have to stick, you know why I did that, eh? To grind the shame into her life the whole way through. You think that's why he did it? Or to tell you that God even loves prostitutes. His grace is even sufficient enough for a prostitute whose life many would say is wrecked. You know, another lie that I was exposed in my life was that if you're not ashamed of where you have been, then you're proud of it. Hold on a second. The opposite of shame isn't pride. The opposite of pride is what? Humility. You see, so do you think it's possible that somebody would be able to go along someone and say, I know where you've been. And I know where you are. And praise God, He's given us victory, or given me victory, and we've come out the other side. You say, well, are you not being proud of it? Hogwash. You don't think of Peter, who maybe further on after the cross would have come upon somebody and they say, Peter, I don't know what to do. They came by and they knocked on my door and they asked me if I knew him. Peter, I think maybe I was ashamed of him. I think maybe I gave him a half-truth. I said, do I know who? And Peter, they laughed. And Peter, I think I've denied him. Will God ever forgive me? What do you think Peter would have said? Yeah, that's a bad one. I can't imagine what that's like. Do you think that's what Peter said? What do you think Peter would have said? Sister, man, let me tell you what I did. Christ told me 3 times I would deny Him. And I said, no, I won't. Don't you worry. I'm going to stand for you. And the time came, and you wouldn't believe it, sister. I said I didn't know Him. In fact, I cursed it. She said, you did. I did. What happened? He took me back with open arms. His grace is sufficient. Wow. Do not see the value in... You say, well, maybe you bought into this lie. Well, they will never amount to what they could have been. What crystal ball do you have? What future... How do you know what they would have been? Would you or I dare limit God in someone's life and say, God could never make you more than you could have been if you hadn't been through this? Is that really the limitations that I place on God? That He couldn't take the failures in somebody's life and maybe make them of more use than... Oh, you say, well, so what are you advocating, Paul? Are you advocating that I go, you know, live a life of... Of course not. I'm just saying, let's not limit God. That He's capable. And you know what? Maybe I did because of my belief system. I told somebody, shh, 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 shh. Don't talk about that. There's no value in that. Because of that, I've caused other individuals to go on day by day bearing burdens and weights that God wanted me to help them with. Is it possible? Maybe this is one of the things in your belief system. Paul, the Bible says that there are things that you shouldn't give tongue to because they're so wicked. Let me ask you this. If that husband who was struggling in his marriage, if he came to you and he said, man, I need help. You say, well, what? Say, I feel my heart being turned away from my wife. I know I'm supposed to love her like Christ loves the church, and I don't. In fact, I think maybe I'm being drawn away. Let me ask you this. If he shared that with you, do you feel all dirty? Do you feel corrupt because all that filth he poured all over you? You say, well, I don't really think I know what he means. I mean, I don't think he really told me enough. I'm not sure. You'd say, what? Man, this guy's in trouble. He needs help. So you don't have to tell the nitty-gritty. That's the extreme, right? Don't tell anything or get down and tell it. No, you know, there is a medium in there that somebody can tell you exactly the shameful thing that's going on in their life. That it's not going to corrupt you. And they could come and you could say, brother, let me tell you where I was in my marriage. See, you do that? Yeah, I would. See, this whole thing of bearing one another's burdens. I can't carry all your burdens. Because I need you to help me with some of mine. See, it doesn't say bear their burden. It's bearing one another's burdens. It has the concept of me and you bearing these things together. When's the last time you've borne someone's burden? And I don't mean the fact that they're, you know, sick family, and those things are terrible. Of course they need that. I'm talking about something that somebody just can't. They can't seem to get victory over it. If a teenager was to come to you, married man, and say, I don't know what's got into me this week, this month. My mind has gone places that they shouldn't. In fact, my eyes have gone places they shouldn't, and I'm ashamed. I know that God sees everything that I do. and I can't believe I did that. Does that make you feel all filthy? Do you know what he means? Any man here with blood in his veins knows what he means? It was enough. It's enough information for you to know this person needs help. I've got to get some guys together. Let's pray with them. Let's talk on a regular basis. Do you give me permission, brother, to call you and not just ask how you're doing, but to really ask how you're doing? See, I'd love that. See, but how do you know you're going to be of any value? Well, let me tell you. Let me tell you what God did in my life. You mean your mindset? Yeah. You mean you haven't always been as good as you look? No. Let me tell you what God did when I surrendered to Him, when I renewed my mind, when I took accountability for my life and realized that there was things that I could or couldn't do. So you'd help me with all that? I tell you, I'd be honored to. Say, is there any value in that? Maybe you've got this as one of your belief systems. Take it to the Lord. Hold on, now don't shut me down yet. Don't shut down your heart yet. I asked for 45 minutes. What are we all doing here? If He's not just enough, if He is everything I need, if He can bear all my burdens and do everything, what are we doing here? Why did He know that? Why did He not tell you, you have need to be part of a local church? Because He knows that I need you. And He knows that you need me. Yes, you take it to the Lord, but you know what the Lord is going to do? He's going to lay it on Don's heart to help you. Who do you think the Lord uses? Where are you going to stop that line of thinking? Let's cancel gospel meeting. Because He doesn't need us. Right? He doesn't need me. The Lord is not relying on me to do anything. I mean, He could save people just, you know, by things they see on buses. And I mean, He has that power. Where are you going to stop that line of thinking? The Lord needs you. And He needs me to bear one another's burdens. I know that's a cliche because we say it so much, but I'm talking real burdens here. Ones that I know some of you have. Guys, this might be a hard one for you to take. And with this, you might throw me off the platform, but I'm going to take the risk because I think it's huge. What do you think of when you see a couple of guys hugging? Come on. You know what you thought, right? If you're driving down and you see it. Right? But you know, there's a contradiction in Scripture to that. Because what are you going to do about that passage that the Lord saw fit to put in the Bible? I mean, He could have just snuck off and did it, you know, and not. But He chose to put it in the Bible. And that is a story of John laying on Jesus' chest. Do you remember that? Is it possible that I've allowed the corruption of the world to dictate how I'm going to be with my brothers and sisters? You say, yeah, but things were different then. Hold on a sec. Do you remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Do you remember Tyre and Sidon? You know there was corruption around a long time before Jesus came, right? Filth, inappropriate behavior between men and women. You know that. You don't think He knew that? We just don't read Him going, hey, John, don't. actually saw fit to put it in the Bible. For all time, for eternity, the Word of God is going to stand. You say, well, we read, I want to love as Christ. I want to be like Christ. I mean, we talk about that lots here. I want to be like Christ. Let me ask you. About a month or 6 weeks ago, we had a brother stand up on a Thursday night and tell us some of the most serious news we've heard in a long time. That his daughter was very sick. Picture with me, I mean, we know it's true, right? Theologically, we know it's true, but I forget often. The Lord was here on that Thursday night. We know that, right? What kind of Lord do you picture? What kind of Christ do you picture? When he hears that news from our brother Phil, do you picture him going up after? I'm here for you, Phil. Is that what you see? Is that the Christ that you see? And anything you need, Phil, I'm there for you. Or do you see a Christ that would have enveloped him in his arms? Maybe even cried with him. Okay? Said, Phil, anything you need. Do you see a young woman that's crying in a prayer meeting? And I'm just throwing these out. Maybe these are crazy, and you're just going, this is crazy talk. But just stick with me for a bit and see if by the end it doesn't all tie in. Do you not see a Christ standing about 6 feet away from that sister? His hands in his pockets. While she cries. And he's praying for her. Is that what you see? Or do you see a Christ who would step over to her? Oh, I know it's not normal. I know it's maybe not convenient in the room, but what if the Lord was just 6 feet away from her? Do you think he would walk up and put his hand on her shoulder? I don't know the kind of picture you have of the Lord. I don't know what you see. I don't know what your belief system has caused you to picture. Maybe my view is totally, totally out of line. Is that possible that I come here for this many years and I grew up coming here? Is it possible my view is... I don't know, is it? I got a news flash for you. Frigidness is not a Christ-like characteristic. How's that for a headline? Frigidness is not a Christ-like characteristic. It goes against everything that is Christ-like. Well, I know what you're saying. Well, Paul, I'm not that kind of person. I'm not that emotional type. I'm not that kind of person that, you know, gets hugs. And my mom and dad weren't that kind of people. And it's, you know, pretty, my whole upbringing is kind of staunch. And, you know, we're not, well, I got good news for you. You know what I discovered this week? I shared with somebody all this time, and it just kind of came to me this week. That if you're going to become like Christ, if I'm going to become like Christ, I'm going to have to change. Hey? I'm not going to be the person I am. Unless you're pretty good. But I'm going to have to do things that I don't normally do. Things that are a little uncomfortable for me, and oh, Paul, that... Do you know? That's okay. When's the last time you just... Guys. You say, well, that would be a huge step for me to, you know, give someone a hug. And when's the last time you just said to a brother who's going through something, you know what? I love you and I want you to know I'm here for you. Say, oh, Paul. Oh, I hardly say that to my wife. Right? Say, well, I want to be like Christ. How about I start acting like Him? You say, yeah, but I read all this stuff and I want to be more like Christ. How about I just act like Him? How about I love others as He loves? Read the Bible. There's no more of a man's man than Paul. Hey? Man, that guy was shipwrecked, floating on logs and getting bitten by snakes. And he was a man's man. He was in prison and he was down. And how did he start off? And I love you people. I love you people. You want to know why they cared what Paul said? You want to know why whole churches would change? Because he wasn't scared to say, I love you people. Is it possible that all the people that are going through things and the people in my lives that are going through struggles, is it possible that I don't need to judge them? You say, oh, Paul, hold on. One of my doctrines is that by your fruits you'll know them. So I have grounds to judge them. Don't you love this story? Maybe you don't. But don't you love that story? When the Lord bent down. And people brought this woman and they said, we want to kill her. And he just started to write in the sand. Hey? Who was more fit to judge than him? You know what he says to her? Not wearing a pair of these, he says, you were totally acceptable to me. I accept you. He says, now that that's out of the way, I love you so much. You say, no, that's not what he said, but hold on, this is what I'm reading between the lines. I love you so much, you can't go and do what you've been doing. You need to change it. Because I love you. Or maybe you're one of the types that like the stories where he strikes them dead. Is that the Jesus that... You see, it often depends on how we were raised and the things that we were taught that determines this God that accepts me. Aren't you glad that God accepts you the way you are? He didn't just do that when you got saved. He accepts you the same way today. You say, yeah, but you don't know. I keep... Maybe you're at this point in your life, Paul, but you don't know. It's been years that I've been struggling in this area. Is it possible that He still loves me? There'd be nobody here that would doubt that, is there? Sure there is. Because sometimes I get there myself. Say, God, I can't imagine how you can still find me acceptable. Do you know there's a difference between somebody being acceptable and what they're doing is unacceptable? You know that, right? Because we use that cliche, right? Love the sinner, but hate the sin, right? That's the doesn't always translate into my life that way. I don't always live that way. Is it possible that somebody that I went to talk to something that is wrong in their life, if I started off with, I love you so much, I can't bear to see you going this way, please stop, that might be a little more effective than, if you don't stop, I'm going to have to tell. Okay? Because we have a responsibility if somebody... Is that why everybody's good? Is that why day after day people are good, 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 good? Because somehow they've witnessed my view and the fact that if you're out of line, I'm going to have to bring you in. Is it possible that my belief system could be one of that by your fruits you'll know them? How can I look at that differently? Oh my goodness. I can see that sister and that or that brother's pulling away. I can see that their heart's growing cold. I know that because they see the fruit. But you know what? I got to go help them. Not I got to go tell on them. I got to call them up. I got to say, brother, I've noticed this about you. And because I love you, and because you are totally accepted by me, I accept you. You say, well, you say that every phone call? No, but you know what? It speaks whether you know it does or not. It speaks loud and clear somehow. You say, how come some people tell them stuff and nobody tells them stuff? Do you think this person is saying, well, you know, you got it, you know, I'm here, I accept you, I love you, I'm open? No, it's not. See, what is that? I don't know, something about that. They can tell. They can tell what my view is. Is it possible that instead of being the judge, because thank goodness, or thank God, that He's the judge, I don't need to judge. And you know what? Maybe I could be their defense attorney instead. Hey? You ever been anybody's defense attorney? And when they're down, you go to the judge and you say, God, please! Please don't bring anything into their life that's going to damage them. Please, God, be patient with them one more day. You say, maybe that's how God's going to turn around. I don't know, but I'm going to go and I'm going to say, God, please. I take some of the responsibility. Oh, hold on, what? I take some of the responsibility. I've noticed things about them and they have. I haven't picked up on it. I've been too busy. God, give me some time with them. Just be patient a little while longer. You know, God sometimes brings some pretty harsh things into people's lives. I don't have the attitude, do I, that, well, that's what happens when you step out of line, that's the risk you take. That's not my heart, is it? It's my heart, oh God, where did I fall short? You know, for this to work. For people to be real. I mean, let me just ask you this. Do you get some satisfaction? Do you feel all warm and that when people love you and like you and but they only know your good stuff? I mean, do you really feel secure in that? What do you think? Hey, if they ever found out about that, oh man. How does that make you feel? I'll tell you what. When there's an environment of unconditional love that brothers and sisters become concerned about one another, they have a heart for each other and they want to lift each other up and they want to carry each other. They don't want to put each other down and they don't want to They don't want people to get their due reward and, boy, they're going to get it. And no, they got a concern and love. Do you know what? That takes care of what our brother was talking about last week. Do you recall? You should be at every meeting. Don't forsake the brethren. Don't. Why wouldn't people want to come somewhere where there's unconditional love? Because they don't get it out there. Right? They don't. I mean, it's not in the world. I mean, because unconditional love is of God. And boy, if there was an environment where you went and it was totally accepted and, you know what, people judge me all day and, man, when I come together with the Christians, maybe you feel like that already. Praise the Lord. Maybe somebody's like that in your life. Maybe you're doing what I'm talking about already. Praise the Lord. But what about me? What about the rest of us? You say, well, how does something like this work? You need to get real. You say, yeah, but they need to first. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Do you know people have told me personal things in their life? Things that I think, Do you know why? Do you know the only time they've ever told me that? When I gave a little. You ever had anybody say, how many kids you got? Where do you work? What do you do? How old are you? You have a wife? You're like, what? What's with interrogation? Do you know what makes it easy? Somebody says, I have 3 children. How about you? Oh, I have 2. Oh, yeah. Say, I'm in the trucking industry. Do you work outside of the home? Or yeah, this flow thing is working. It's no different with struggles and challenges and sin that we all deal with. That for it to be effective and for people to know about me. You see, there's some of you, when I look at you, it's probably just because I haven't spent time with you. And that's the numbers issue. I know that. Not a criticism. But I honestly think you have not struggled with one thing in the last year. Not one thing. You always look good. All you ladies smell good. Well, that can't be real. It's time to get real, folks. If some of you say, I go to meetings and I do this thing, you know, every day and I read and I do this, but there's just something inside of me that's missing. I think I found it. You say, oh, that's a big claim. Folks, I think I found it. It's the ability to be real because you're unconditionally loved. Some of you are saying, no, Paul, somebody found out something about me once and they went and told everybody and, oh, it was a big thing and I will never make that mistake again. I'm not talking about people. You know, some of the worst things that I know about people are only because I found them out. Right? It came out. That's not what I'm talking about. Talking about being able to be real with somebody and say, I need your prayer in this area. I need your help in this area. I need your time. Because I'm drowning. Some of you have walls the size of Jericho around your hearts. And you will never be burned like that again. I will never make that mistake of letting somebody get that close to me again. I'm afraid you'll bear it alone. Until you're willing to... Look at the Lord. Time's up. But look at the Lord. He takes his 3 best friends with him further into the garden, right? Somebody was sharing that with me this week. Look at, he took them in there. And, I mean, these are my comrades. He left the other 8 back there. And he took 3 with him. And boy, did they ever do him good, eh? They fell asleep again and again. Aren't you glad for Scripture's sake and for their sake the Lord didn't say, you know what? Forget it, guys. I will never share something close with you again. You have hurt me. Do you think Peter was closer to the Lord after what he went through or further away? Hey? Denying the Lord. Do you think he was closer after that? Do you think he understood God's grace just a little better? Do you think his love for him because of what they'd come through was greater than if he hadn't gone through it? I think it was. That's the great thing about God. You can be down and not out. I might try to keep you out. God forbid. But he won't. I don't know. I don't know if anybody is going to see that this is something that is missing. It's missing in Laura's life and it was missing in mine. We both said, honey, man, what are we going to do? I can't live like this anymore. She said, Paul, we need to find people that just want to be real. We just need to find some people that we can bear their burdens and their ours. I don't know if that's you. Maybe this is a bunch of bunk as far as you're concerned, but I hope not, because folks, it changed my life. I see things differently now. When's the last time you've had something come in to change your life? Just change it. Yesterday you were like this, and today you're totally different. Is it time? I hope so. Let's pray. Father,